The United States Post Office officially started offering parcel post services for larger packages on January 1st, 1913. It didn't take long before parents realized it was cheaper to send their babies through parcel post than to purchase a train ticket. Yes, you heard that right. Babies were sent through the mail system as an alternative mode of transportation due to cost. This, of course, was ended, and the official stoppage occurred on June 13th, 1920, which was about 3 months before another crazy story would begin. The founders of what would become the National Football League gathered in the famed Hupmobile Auto Showroom, and the rest was gridiron history. In this episode, we get to explore the 100-year history of the NFL, and it all revolves around some books.
Welcome to the Football History Dude Podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. Your host is Arnie Chapman. Football is his passion, and he wants you to come along with him to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board his DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
This time as we step off our DeLorean, the date is September 17th, 1920, and we are in Ralph Hayes' Hupmobile Auto Showroom. And we have another guest riding shotgun with us again. His name is Clayton Truder. He's going to be our guide through football literary history, similar to Dr. Emmett Brown was to Marty McFly cruising through time. Now, Dr. Clayton Truder is a historian and sports writer. He writes about college football and basketball for SB Nation at Down the Drive and Underdog Dynasty. He holds a PhD in U.S. history from Boston College. He is the author of a forthcoming book on the history of professional sports in Atlanta. And by golly, he'd love to hear from you over on Twitter. You can hit him up at Clayton Truder. But without further ado, let's get this thing a-poppin'. Hey, Clayton, welcome to the Football History Dude Podcast, and thanks for riding shotgun with me, man.
Thanks for having me be a part of it. It's an honor to be on a podcast right after the legendary Upton Bell. I'm looking forward to the opportunity to be on here, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
Sure, and just like I said in the intro, we just went back in time. We took the DeLorean to September 17th, 1920, the founding of the NFL. This upcoming season happens to be the 100th season of the NFL. And what better way to celebrate the rich history than to take a look at some of the better books covering the yesteryear of the gridiron. The first stop on our journey is a book by Michael McCambridge called America's Game, the epic story of how a pro football captured a nation. Now, you put this into the league history category. Why did you pick this book for this category?
I don't know that there's any other book that so comprehensively covers whether it's the economics of the league, whether it's the on-field product, whether it's the social importance of pro football. McCambridge takes the story from Canton, Ohio, 1920, all the way up into the 21st century. And in a very nuanced way, weaves a lot of different trends together in his story, and in a really comprehensive way talks about how the NFL became America's most popular sport from a fairly marginal one back in the 1920s.
What intrigued you or pulled you into this book?
I was walking through a Barnes & Noble one day, probably, 10 to 15 years ago. I saw it on the shelf. It was a book that I had always wanted to exist. I'd always been interested in the history of pro football, college football, any level of football. And I had never seen a book that in such a broad way covered the entire history of the league. And I sat down, I read it probably in two afternoons, and once I finished, I started right over again. It blew my mind. There was so much content in there with which I was unfamiliar. I really didn't know much of the stories about the owners of pro football. I didn't really know a lot about the on-the-field product before about 1960. So it opened my eyes to a lot of different, aspects of the league's history, and also just encouraged me to read up on other areas of the history of pro football as well.
Do you have a favorite story or some kind of interesting golden knowledge nugget that came out of the book that just kind of stuck with you?
What really stuck with me about this book was the importance of television to pro football, that football was able to be presented in this very cinematic landscape-like way, which really helped broaden its popularity. Baseball had always been the national sport, but in many ways, the rise of television and the rise of pro football happened at the same time, and McCambridge describes that well. he describes how the NFL got into television, large-scale television deals, which helped every single franchise have a financial foothold in this shared television deal. So his discussion of economics and the cultural importance of television to the NFL was really eye-opening to me.
Yeah, learning about the history and especially some of the recent episodes about how important the television explosion as far as the NFL has really intrigued me as well. And I just think it's so cool how something that we take for granted every day nowadays just was the catapult to make the game America's sport.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think of a similar title to that. The closest thing I can think of is a book I haven't actually read yet. John Eisenberg, who's written a number of excellent books about pro football, has a book called The League, How Five Rivals Created the NFL, which came out last fall and has been getting rave reviews. I gather that that book, in many respects, delves into the early history of the league as well. So that might be a nice companion to McCambridge's book, which I don't think really has a peer as a broad history of the league.
In your opinion, it's pretty much the far and away type for as far as league history goes?
Yes. If I was going to encourage anyone to read one book about the NFL, it would be the book I would choose. It puts the entire story in context, and anything you do, whether you're interested in the history of the league or its present, makes a lot more sense after reading his excellent book. I would actually recommend all of his books. He wrote an excellent biography of Lamar Hunt. He wrote this fantastic book called His Life's Work, which is a biography of Chuck Knoll. McCambridge, I think, is one of the best football writers out there.
Well, definitely. Like I said in the intro, I'll be putting all of these links in the show notes for everybody. And speaking of American history, 100 years NFL, hey, this is the time. Let's get some knowledge on this. And another one on the next stop, we talk about a biography. And you said that Namath by Mark Kriegel is the one that you would choose in this category. What's that? What's the reason for that?
It really does a nice job putting Namath within the context of his times, whether it's growing up in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, in this blue-collar town near Pittsburgh, or playing football at Alabama, or being a celebrity in New York City in the 1960s. Kriegel does a fantastic job creating a time and place and showing how Namath inhabited these worlds. Kriegel's written a number of great biographies. He wrote a fantastic biography of the fighter Ray Mancini. He wrote one of Pete Maravich as well. Namath's biography is my favorite of his. It, in many ways, also illuminates the significance of Namath to the game, both as a cultural figure and then his on-the-field success as well. So among many great pro football biographies, I think that's my favorite. Among the other ones I really admire are David Moranis's When Pride Still Matters about Vince Lombardi. I mentioned McCambridge's biography of Chuck Knoll, His Life's Work, is also another recent fantastic pro football biography.
So speaking of the Namath biography, the one or in any of these other ones, do you have a particular story or something that just kind of totally floored you? You were like, whoa, I had no clue that was involved here.
Well, I didn't know a lot about Namath's childhood, and it delves into his background in an immigrant family in western Pennsylvania and the significance of football to Beaver Falls, just in many ways a quintessential town where football is the center of life in the fall. And I think just telling the stories of that community I found particularly interesting and new to me in the book.
How much do you think that played into a factor of, you know, you said not a wealthy immigrant family and moving into a football town and that kind of thing. How much of a weight did that have on Namath becoming what I know him as, you know, Broadway Joe?
Well, I think in many ways he developed his swagger in that context. He was a guy who was out, he was on the make, he was trying to make his place in the world. And in many ways, for the book describes it, the way he was as a teenager is the way he is as Broadway Joe in New York City. He's a guy who's out making making his place in the world.
Yeah, and I didn't really know much about him. I learned a little bit more from, like you said, the Upton Bell episode. There were some things that I had no clue on as far as Namath as well as Super Bowl III and things like that. But it's just another book to recommend. It's something to cool to listen and learn about people's stories on how they grew up, and that's just something that intrigues me as far as where we how we get to where we're going, and that's one reason why I started this show. And speaking of how we get to where we're going and how the NFL is in much ways a West Coast offensive shift, you know, and now we're shifting into other types of offenses. The next stop that we find ourselves on is, you call it the strategy category, Find the Winning Edge by Bill Walsh. And why did you pick that book for this category?
First of all, if you ever look on eBay or Amazon, this book is incredibly expensive. It had a fairly small print run. A copy of this goes for like $300. The copy of it I read was a library's copy. And in many ways, Walsh goes through his coaching philosophy, both in terms of the West Coast offense, but also in the sense of talking through how he approaches organizing a team, managing the organization of a football team. And from my understanding, it has become the genuine Bible in the coaching world for how to organize one's franchise. It's a book that I don't think really has a peer in terms of that. There's certainly plenty of books by Lombardi among others that talk about the particulars of football strategy. But in terms of building a football organization and putting a plan together, it seems like an MBA program in a book or something. It's really remarkable what Walsh put together there and what a great asset it is to future coaches.
Did you say that the book is going for $300 nowadays?
Well, let me fire up my computer and see if they're charging. It hasn't gone into a second print run. I mean, it is a, and I don't really know why. I think that must be on purpose. I feel like there would be a big audience for it. $289.33 is the current going price on Amazon for a used copy of it.
So that's one of those situations where if you go into most libraries and if you can find this book, I'll pay the late fee. I don't care. You can make a profit, man. It's pure profit.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be a lot cheaper. Yes, definitely.
So anyway, yeah, you're gonna move on and you're going to say some more about it. What did you have?
I was going to say the other book that's fairly similar to this, I would say, is Paul Zimmerman, Dr. Z from Sports Illustrated, wrote a book in the late 1960s called A Thinking Man's Guide to Pro Football, which in many ways talked through a lot of the strategy of the game, which if you were part of football, obviously you understood. But for the average spectator who isn't that intimately involved with the game, Paul Zimmerman's A Thinking Man's Guide to Pro Football in many respects opened a lot of eyes to, first of all, how complex the strategy of the game is.
Yeah, that's another book that we'll have to add there on the show notes. And speaking of complexity, things that people didn't quite understand and totally know, the next book on our stop, you talked about the season in the life and how a lot of people don't really understand what the NFL was like for players back in the day, regardless of, you know, there's of course the racial overtones for some players there in the 60s and 50s and stuff. But then you have just in general, the one that you chose was Instant Replay by Jerry Kramer. Why'd you choose that book?
In many ways, it's the first of what has become a very common genre in, basically any sports writing, whether baseball, football, basketball, hockey. There's a number of books like this. In terms of football, the first of these was Jerry Kramer's Instant Replay, which was co-written by Dick Schaff, who was with Sports Illustrated at the time. And it is written like a diary. Kramer walks you through training camp, through the season, what it's like to deal with Lombardi on a day-to-day basis throughout the 1966 season. It's when the Packers won the first Super Bowl. It's been a widely copied book. There have been many accounts similar to it in subsequent years, but I think Kramer does it about as well as anybody. It's not really like an expose saying, oh, the dark side of pro football, as a lot of other similar titles have come to or have presented things. He certainly gripes about Lombardi, though. I think one of the things that's enlightening or illuminating about the book is that clearly he respects Lombardi and the success he's had. He's been a part of the organization for a number of years, but he certainly didn't like training camp and did his best to avoid some of the less pleasant parts of it as well. So you get the sense of what the average player is feeling as he's going through the different steps of the season in the book. I think it's a fairly brief book. It's something you could read on about a two-hour bus ride. It's really just a nice, quick entryway into reading about the history of the NFL, too, I think, to see it through the eyes of an athlete.
Yeah, and another thing that was kind of cool for me, I'm not sure how many of you out there were able to watch the Hall of Fame induction speech last year, but Jerry Kramer really did peel back the curtain on to how it was like playing for Lombardi. And it was very moving. I'm not sure. Were you able to see his speech?
Yeah, I was. Yes, it was, having read the book, it gave it a little different context too. It was kind of interesting. In many ways, it sort of builds on what you read in instant replay.
Yeah, it was pretty cool just in general for that. And I highly suggest anybody out there this upcoming year, the first weekend of August is the Hall of Fame induction. If you have a chance to get out there, definitely take a look at it and how to head out there. There's a free for the family to get out there for a lot of the events, and there's a lot of other things that are going on. Speaking of this category, though, Clayton, you mentioned that there were a few other books out there, you know, similar style or whatever. Do you have any that come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, some are written by journalists, some are written by players. In recent years, there's an excellent book that was following the Rex Ryan Jets, written by a guy named Nicholas Davidoff, who wrote for the New York Times. It's called Collision Low Crossers, which covers, I think it was Rex Ryan's last season that it's covered, last season with the Jets, it's covered in the book. And you see the genuine conflict between the offensive and defensive staffs and players in it. A lot of the turmoil of an unsuccessful season comes through in this. In certain respects, you see a little bit of that in like TV shows like Hard Knocks, but you get a much more detailed picture of the course of of 16 games in Davidoff's book, Collision Low Crossers. Going back to the 70s, there's a book called About Three Bricks Shy of a Load by Roy Blount, which covered the 1970 Steelers, which is a peek behind the interpersonal aspects of the Steelers in the early 70s. Those are the couple that come to mind right now. But yeah, there's a lot of books out there that are in this A Season in the Life of Eight, and those are some of the better known ones.
Sure. And do you listen to most, or do you read these books normally, or do you have an audio book as well sometimes?
Oh, a mix of both. I mean, I love audio books. I mean, I think they're fantastic when you're commuting to be able to enjoy books that way. So I do a mix of both. Some of these I've only listened to the audiobook. Many of them I've read. So it's sometimes I've done both at different points. I read the book and then I enjoyed it so much I listened to the audiobook later on. So it all depends on the book. But yeah, these are all books that I've read, listened to the audiobook of at some point.
You mentioned earlier, you know, that one book was not a, you know, expose or anything like that. That's the next category that we were going to bring up. The book that you mentioned was Out of Their League by David Megacy. Why'd you choose that book?
Well, there are a number of books. I mean, I think particularly in recent times, you have books like League of Denial, which cover the dark side of pro football, whether it's about the culture of the game, whether it's about injuries. In many ways, I think the first book in the genre is by a guy named Dave Megacy, who played in the early 1970s, late 1960s, early 1970s for the Cardinals, who wrote this book, Out of Their League, which deals with, to a great extent, the racial conflict on the Cardinals team in the late 1960s and early 1970s. That's, to a great extent, his focus in this book. And it is the first of many titles that are somewhat similar that have come out in subsequent years. There's another book called They Call It a Game by a guy named Bernie Parrish, who played for the Cleveland Browns in the 60s and 70s. Which is more about the brutality of football, is more the focus of that book. I think in many ways Meg Yessie's book is a little bit better written, and I think tends to hold up better as a text. But it's certainly an important genre in the history of pro football writing, and there have been a number of books in this category, and Out of Their League is probably the strongest title in that field, I think.
Was there anything that really struck a chord with you as far as, you know, it I guess you could say a heart thumper type thing, and made you really think about why should I continue supporting this sport or anything like that?
Well, I don't know that I felt that way. I think in many ways it reflected some of these social issues of the time period, some of the social conflicts of the time. In particular, there's a sense that the Cardinals at one point had, as many pro football teams, had a silent quota on the number of African-American players they were signing. And Meg Yessie goes into that aspect of pro football in particular during the 1960s, something that has times has certainly changed in many respects. But he, in many ways, exposed a lot of these issues to the public for the first time.
Did he ever go, even though it was the majority of the book was about that, did he ever at some point in time say this was happening, but did he give to the point where this player or this coach or this organization or something was actually trying to help us head in the right direction?
Well, his book's fairly negative. If you ever get a chance to read it, he had just left pro football at the time. He was a guy who had, he was going to graduate school for sociology at the time. So in many ways, he was quite focused on trying to, deal with a lot of society's problems, and he saw some of them within the context of his team.
Right, and I mean, I wouldn't expect necessarily that, but I was just wondering if there were some hidden gems where maybe he realized that not everything was bad. You know, there are some things, some people that were trying to get through, and
Well, I would say largely he's the hero of his own book, from my recollection. I haven't read it in a few years, but that's my main recollection.
Sure. And speaking of around that same time frame, and with the, you know, we're talking about the racial overtones and the AFL-NFL battle, the AFL was known to be more welcoming to the African-Americans. And the next book that you talk about was competing pro football leagues category, Going Long, The Wild 10-Year-Long Saga of the AFL in Words of Those Who Lived by Jeff Miller. Go long, Megatron! It sure is fun to reminisce about some of our favorite players on the field, and tell you what, not many went long better than Megatron did. Sure, we know I'm a Detroit Lions fan, and I'm kind of biased on the situation, but let's get past that. I mean, surely, what we're going to get into in this upcoming episode with the next book has to do with opening the game to become more of a pass-happy league, dropping leather missiles from all over the place. With the AFL coming into power, creating what the NFL had to do when they had to merge. However, you're going to have to wait until next week to see what Clayton Truter decides that is going to be his categorical pick for competing pro leagues. Now, I know that Clayton covered many books so far on this episode, and if you're interested in checking any of these books out, or even learning more about Clayton, you can head to thefootballhistorydude.com/Clayton Truter. That's CLAYTONTRUTOR. Again, that's thefootballhistorydude.com/Clayton Truter. On the page, there's going to be many ways for you to enjoy these books. There's even ways to get 2 free audiobooks from either audiobooks.com or Audible. Also, there's a link for a free month of Kindle Unlimited. That way you can enjoy your favorite books in any fashion you please. Whatever you fancy, man, get after it. Oh yeah, and for Sholi, why don't you go ahead and subscribe for free to this show by mashing that little subscribe button on your podcast player of choice. That way you get the hottest, freshest out the press episodes each and every week. But let's talk about next week. You will get to hear the rest of Clayton Truter Experience, taking us back in the DeLorean to explore some literary work of gridiron art. But for now, dudes, I'm through if you're through.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Football History Dude. To make sure you're the first to get the next episode, please subscribe on your podcast player of choice and head on over to thefootballhistorydude.com for the show notes and more information on the history of the NFL. And remember, dudes, where we're going, we don't need roads.